From KUER News in Salt Lake City, this is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Today in the program, we're talking about some of the best music of the year. But it's not one of those top 10 lists, not really. And it doesn't come close to covering the range of possibilities. There's no jazz in here, or classical, or country music, or world music. But hold up, I'll bet you anything you're going to find something in here that you're going to love. Something new, something you're going to want to listen to again or share with someone. Today's list is Bob's list. Bob Boylan of the NPR website, All Songs Considered. Bob will join us today to take us through the list and to talk about the way music is evolving and changing, shifting sounds, new ways of building and arranging music. Bob says 2012 has been a really good year for music. So join us after the news. This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Most of us have a friend who helps us cover our bases musically. This is the guy or the girl who used to make the mixtapes, who goes to all the concert, keeps up on the new albums and trends. They have funky taste and live the life you figure you would if you didn't have to get up and go to work in the morning. Well, NPR's Bob Boylan is one of those friends for some of us. And today in the program, he's joining us, like he does a few times a year, to talk about what he thinks is the best music of 2012. We'll talk about his favorite albums of the year today. And of course, we'll be playing some of it, too. Bob Boylan is the creator and host of NPR's weekly music show, All Songs Considered. He's also been the director of All Things Considered and, of course, is an electronic musician with a number of recordings to his name. Bob is joining us today from the studios of NPR in Washington. We should mention that you can find a list of the albums we'll be talking about today, as well as links to All Songs Considered at radiowest.kuer.org. Bob Boylan, welcome back. Thanks for being with us.
I love it. One of my favorite times of the year, Doug.
Good. So I suppose we should begin by laying some groundwork here and explain what is on your list and what is not on your list. Because you've talked about the fact it's not exactly a well-balanced list. I mean, no jazz and hip-hop really, or much anyway, no classical, no. So it's not a comprehensive list that we're talking about today. But these are the things that really caught your attention, I guess.
And favorites. Always how I make my lists are by favorites. I can never, like, say the remake by Max Richter of Vivaldi's The Four Seasons that he did this year is not as good as the Grizzly Bear record. You know, I just can't put those things together. So when I make a top 10 list at the end of the year, they're the ones, the records that I come back to over and over again that I really just want to hear when I need to listen to music.
The ones you put on and sing to.
You bet. Yeah. And that's the truth. They're often always they're often songs when I look at these lists. I like singing along, don't you?
Yeah. So I guess we should say also that when you listen, you do kind of rate the stuff you're listening to, right?
It's a little sad, isn't it? Yes. As I listen to music, I will star rate using iTunes or on my phone the songs as I listen to. So I'm going and I'm on the subway or whatever, and I say, oh, man, that's a 4-star. They go up to 5-star. That's a 4-star song, 3-star song. And by the end of the year, I have every song on most of my favorite albums rated, and I can look at it and begin to judge where they would fall in a list. It's not the completest. I'm not just a mathematician, but that's the way I start with my top 10 list.
Yeah. There's something you wrote I wanted to ask you about, because you said that you're seeing kind of a shift or some kind of evolution in songwriting, and it sounds like it's something that you get a sense of that's kind of important that's going on in music.
I am seeing the way music will change in many of the songs I like, every 20 and 30 seconds, complete shifts in music. And this happened in another time in my life when I was a rock fan in the late 60s and 70s, when progressive rock came along, where songs would have verse, chorus, and maybe a bridge somewhere. Mm-hmm. You'd notice these time signature changes that were very prominent in progressive rock music. And I'm seeing that sort of stuff within songs in pop music. And I find that fascinating. It holds my attention. It keeps me very interested. It's not just layers and washes of sound, which was for a long time the trend in how songwriting would happen. But it's fascinating. I love it. And there are a bunch of bands I'm sure we'll go through today. We'll point those out.
Good, good. So it sounds like it's been a pretty good year for music then.
I like this year. I had trouble with my top 10. It was a year, about 2 years ago, that I only did a top 9.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, no, this is a good year. I like that. I like that.
Well, let's jump in. Let's start with Grizzly Bear, the album Shields. You described this as quirky but accessible.
It is. You know, these guys are not everybody's cup of tea. Their harmonies are a little awkward. You can't often tell what they're singing about. But Shields was different. Shields felt rather straight ahead. And I'm curious for people who've never heard them before, if they find that to be true. I think we should listen to maybe a song like A Simple Answer, which has a very straight ahead beat, but good harmonies, really cool guitars that come in and out of it.
Here it is. It's a Simple Answer from Grizzly Bear. Their album is Shields.
Those saints in lockstep, across the wasteland.
You know, we talked about how you rate the albums you listen to, Bob, and this was one of your highest rated albums, you say.
Was I had more 5-star songs. This was one of my 5-star songs, and this this album was full of 5-star songs, more than any other record that I listened to all year. And I was surprised by that. You know, when you do these things as they randomly come up and you rate them, you're not affected by how you rated the song before or the song after.
Yeah.
And so when it all comes together and you look at it and you go, wow. A little bit surprised by that, but when I listen to those 5-star songs over again, I had no problem thinking of them as 5-star. Really strong. That song was about to take a whole nother direction into this beautiful chorus. There was going to be a nice break to it. If you haven't heard Grizzly Bear, A Simple Answer is a real nice way in to that group.
Yeah,
and this record was a struggle for them. They actually did a record and scrapped the whole thing, and then wound up writing Shields. It took them a while to get here, but I'm glad they did.
Yeah. Let's talk about Sharon Van Etten, her album Tramp, third album of hers. And I guess the thing that people recognize with Sharon Van Etten is, well, it's her voice, the kind of expressiveness of her voice.
And her music up to now has been fairly basic and simple, not quite folk guitar Sharon, but, you know, basic and simple. She's been working a lot with the folks from the group The National. One thing that Grizzly Bear has in common with Sharon that has in common with other bands that'll pop up, Dirty Projectors, all from sort of New York, Brooklyn area. Sharon's not born there, but she's been living there, and The National are based there. Aaron Dessner worked and produced this record. It's a very full production, and I think there were a lot of people, including myself, that were a little worried about that, because one of the beauties of Sharon was she was just so eloquent and spare.
Yeah.
And hearing a full sound, I was concerned, but boy, it works. They really, he and she, so to speak, Aaron and Sharon really worked well together, knowing how to draw the best out of each.
There's a song called Serpents we'll play some of. And we're going to start here at about 20 seconds in on this. What are you listening for here, Bob?
Well, I think the layers and textures and how she lays her voice on top of all that stuff would be a good place to start.
It was a close call. Time.
Van Etten. It's the album Tramp. That's the song Serpents. Good ratings on other songs in that as well for you?
Yeah. No, there's not a clunker on that record. all really, really good songs. And some that are they're so slow and beautiful, and they have gorgeous arcs. We played something, and I'm glad we did, something with a lot of power underneath it. But some of the songs are just so spare and lonely and beautiful.
Mm. Last time we spoke, we talked about Jack White's album, Blunderbuss. And it's interesting. I've read where you've called this the White Album, and you're a little tongue-in-cheek there. But you do see a few things in common, you say, with the Beatles' White Album and Jack White.
He is a guy that you expect a certain thing from, you know, over the years with the White Stripes.
Yeah.
And I think you just expect a good rocker. You expect humor. But I didn't. I really didn't expect the scope of types of music that's on Blunderbuss.
Yeah.
There's, you know, what almost sounds like an old turn-of-the-century bar tune. It sounds like country music.
Yeah.
You know, there's jazzier stuff. Jack, I interviewed Jack White earlier in the year when I had only listened to Blunderbuss once. It was just about to come out, and he talked about wanting so hard to challenge himself, to not do the expected, to go into a studio and maybe without an idea, and to lay something down with musicians he'd never worked with, and to see what they'd come up with and bounce it back and forth until it formed something. And so I think for some, this was a disappointing record, because what they wanted were rocker after rocker after rocker, and that didn't have that.
Well, it freaks fans out when artists do different things, I think, because they get used to certain things. But I guess that didn't bother you. You like the fact that he's mixing it up.
I want that, actually. Because I'll always have all those White Stripe records. They're not going away.
Right.
And so here's a guy. He's talented, and let's see how he grows. I think that's just the best. I look forward to that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And the concert he did this year, you know, if you just were expecting, I'm not going to get the rocking stuff anymore because Jack's only rocking some of the time. It was one of the most fierce, fantastic concerts I saw all year, and I saw quite a few.
Yeah, yeah. Let's play some of Freedom at 21.
Okay.
What do you think about this piece?
I'd say let's listen to it a little bit and come back and talk about it.
I think
that might be the best thing for this song.
Great, great. Jack White, it's his album Blunderbuss. The song is Freedom at 21. Yeah, it's great.
yeah, and there's lots of time, that time change thing that happens there may not have happened so much in White Stripes. And it's a little, this song's riff-driven, not so unlike like White Stripes, but it's a lot more complicated drumming than ever would have gone on. he's so playful with his voice all over this record. I'm so happy. He's making records.
Blunderbuss is the name of that album. Well, let's shift gears a bit. I guess you're shifting gears when you're talking about Patrick Watson. His album in Your Own Backyard. You really love Patrick Watson. I do too, I have to say. And I guess as far as sort of beautiful melodic music goes,
he's it,
right? I mean, we talked about Regina Spektor.
So she's it.
So she, right. She's right. It too. Andrew Bird, of course.
Andrew Bird's good.
Really great. Good, but you say Patrick Watson stood out in many ways, really not as being better than them, but really stood out for you this year.
He seems to be, first of all, he's an incredibly charismatic fellow. So if you ever see his show live, you cannot help but be seduced by his performance. Mm-hmm. His songs, like I was saying with many songs that are shifting and changing within songs, he writes little, you know, what Brian Wilson used to call pocket symphonies. He writes little songs that have little small, their developments are slow over time, themes that, you know, maybe stayed at the beginning of the song, come back in a different way later in the song. Mm. He's a composer, yeah. You know, where other musicians might be good writers of riffs or catchy things. He really understands how to make a song have a beginning, middle, and an end in a way that they all work together so well. And he's from Montreal. Fantastic player, Patrick Watson, not getting enough credit for the work he does.
Is this a home recording, this album?
He did, yeah. He decided he wanted to, well, probably financially, because his records don't sell all that well, sadly. Wanted to figure a way to gather his friends in his home, and so, hence the name, Adventures in...
In Your Backyard.
In Your Backyard.
Yeah. Here's a song. It's called Into Giants. You want to say anything about it?
Well, the first time I ever saw this song performed was in Austin, Texas at South by Southwest. Yeah. And the band started playing, holding flashlights in a darkened church in the middle of the audience.
Wow.
And so you hear the mandolins and the guitar, acoustic guitar, and the harmonies. And then the band started walking to the front of the stage where all their equipment, the drums and the electric guitar and stuff were. And it just exploded. Well, they don't quite do that on the record, but you hear the sense of smallness in a song that gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Lovely song about love.
This is called Into Giants.
Time was running fast. While we were walking so slow, well, I watched us grow and grow.
So you talked about seeing him perform. And you've also talked about, Bob, what kind of an engaging performer he can be. So seeing him live must be really great.
It's like seeing Tom Waits, only this guy is more gentle and more magical, more trance-inducing. And you don't know where his songs are going to take you. They just don't stay to theme, and that's it. And so a lot of times, like when I saw him, I've seen him a number of times, mm-hmm. but I've also, I like watching a crowd when I go to a show as well as like watching the performer. And he did a tour opening with Andrew Bird, which I thought was a good match because his music and Andrew Bird's music have similar adventures in melody. And I think most of the people who went to see Andrew never knew Patrick Watson. And it was fascinating to watch the faces of people as these songs unfolded, and watched his. And watched him pull you into his musical world. Mm. It's great. I love that guy.
Bob Boylan is with us, host of NPR's weekly music show All Songs Considered. For a list of the music we're talking about today and for links to All Songs Considered, visit our website, radiowest.kuer.org. You can also follow us on Twitter and Facebook. We'll take a brief break. Back in a moment, you're listening to Radio West on KUER. This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Today in the program, Bob Boylan is with us, sharing some of his favorite music of 2012. You can find a list of all the albums and artists we're talking about on our website, radiowest.kuer.org. So there are two guitar-based albums we're going to talk about today. One of them is Jeff the Brotherhood. Tell us about this group first. I have to say I don't know much about them.
Well, first of all, people who love the Black Keys should know that this record was produced by the Black Keys. They're two brothers from Nashville, Jake and Jamin Orrell from Nashville, Tennessee. And they make music that more closely reminds me of the Ramones than any other band. And for those who know the Ramones well, I miss them terribly.
Yeah.
And this is like seeing their younger cousin twice removed. They've got the humor.
Yeah.
They've got the catchy, fast, loud music. I think these guys are really kind of special. They came and played a concert at my desk. You know, we do the series of concerts at my desk called Tiny Desk Concerts.
Right.
They proceeded to take off their shirts and drink Pabst Blue Ribbon at about 11 in the morning. They're funny guys,
yeah.
You know. But their lyrics are catchy. And as the Ramones did too, in that sort of cartoony world that they are in, the lyrics are really good. And you could just blow them off as being funny, but they're not just funny. And,
yeah.
And they have a homey quality about them. The opening line to this current record is, "I want a place where I can smoke meat." You know, it's a dream for some. And, and they want to live the dream.
This is a song called Six Pack. You want to set it up for us, or is it pretty self-explanatory?
A song called Six Pack. You know, go for it. Just go for it.
It's pretty hot out.
Jeff, the Brotherhood, it's the album Hypnotic Nights, and that was Six Pack. It's great.
It is. So you noticed a little pattern here. We got Jeff, the Brotherhood is a duo. It's just, there are two guys. The whole band is two guys, right? Wow. It's drums and a guitar player.
Like the Black Keys.
Produced by the Black Keys, yeah. Who, like you say. And then the next group you mentioned are Japan Droids. Again, guitar and drums, and that's it. And it's fascinating, you know. And didn't we just talk about the White Stripes?
Yeah,
right? Guitar and drums.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It is. I don't think, you know, 15, 20 years ago, you ever would have thought about a band of just two with that much stuff going on,
yeah,
and that much power. And it's not like they use, you know, sequencers and all sorts of stuff to bolster their sound. But the guitar is so thick and full, and it completely works.
So we're going to save Japan Droids for last.
Okay, that's perfect, because they're a great song to go out on.
Yeah, it's a perfect song to go out on. So hold that thought. Cat Power, I want to talk about next. She has an album called Sun. American singer-songwriter, does a little acting. And you really liked this album, but you've said this. You said you weren't so crazy about the way it was engineered, at least not at first.
Yeah, you know, it sounds like I'm just some kind of picky guy, but honestly, I really had trouble listening to this record, as good as the songs were. First of all, for those who don't know Cat Power, most people do know her as sort of a singer of often sad, inward-looking songs, who a number of years ago did a big Southern brass band, Memphis-sounding album, which really surprised a lot of people. And then she made another record. This is kind of like the story of Grizzly Bear. She made another record, and her friend said to her, you know, this kind of sounds like another Cat Power record, meaning another sad, I assume what she meant by that was another sad bunch of songs.
Yeah.
And she scrapped it and then made this record, Sun, which is, by its name, is a much more bright outlook and musically uplifting record. She produced a lot of what went on this record, and frankly, there's all this kind of what they call compression, which makes things just pop a lot,
mm-hmm.
And so sometimes the drums are way out in front or the bass is so overwhelming, for my taste.
Yeah.
Not everybody feels that way, but that aside, I'm talking about the bad stuff. She's written her best batch of songs right here on this record, and she should be really proud of them. It's a great, great record. Chan Marshall is the artist who goes by the name of Cat Power.
Yeah. This song we're going to play is Cherokee, and we'll start it a bit in here. Is this the best song on the album, or did you even lay it out like that?
It was every star was a 4-star song on this record except one, and the 5-star song is 11 minutes, and that would probably take us out.
Yeah.
so we'll do this. This one, I think Cherokee's got gives you a good idea of how different and non-folky and, you know, it's just a good, bright, bouncy, no, I won't say bouncy, it's just a good, bright tune to listen to.
Never knew pain, never knew shame. Now I know why. Bury me to the sky. Bury me, bury me to the sky. If I die before my time, bury me upside down. Cherokee, kiss me.
Power, the album Sun, the song Cherokee there. So when we talked in the summer about some of the things you were thinking about, I was wondering if you were going to head toward Kishibashi, for example. We talked about that. You really liked that album, Bright Whites.
I do.
Didn't make the top list, but you still think it's one of your favorites, I guess, for the year.
It would have been 11 or 12. Huh. You know, I don't know how 10 ever came to be the one, but yeah. But we all do our top 10s. Yeah, fabulous record from a new artist. And certainly, if not the song of the year, the second best song of the year is a song called Bright Whites, which we played over the summer.
Yeah. Alabama Shakes, you liked their album, Boys and Girls.
Yeah, I'm looking more forward to their next record. There's so much promise in this record, and there's so many good songs, but you could also tell it was the first time they wrote songs together.
Yeah.
And they are becoming seasoned because they're on the road all the time, so I'm really eager to see how they pull it together for the next record.
Yeah. We talked about Fun, one of those kind of joyful albums, Some Nights. This didn't make your top, but this was sort of on that list of joyful albums that I think you really I don't know if it was a guilty pleasure, but I got a sense you really liked it or liked parts of it anyway.
I was surprised how much I like it because it does lean in a sort of sweet, well, I guess poppier direction than my tastes generally lean toward.
Yeah.
But it felt so good. And the song development, again, you listen to Some Nights, the title track, or listen to We Are Young.
We Are Young, yeah.
And they just don't have a straight path, and I love it. And also, seeing these folks live, even those sort of what I would call 2- and 3-star songs, really 3-star songs on this record, come to life with an audience of, at the time I saw them, 1,000 people, knowing every single word to every song. And that just it's thrilling to go to and see things like that.
Yeah.
I like this band a lot. They kind of remind me, in a way, of Queen. In their song, they've got humor. There's a lot of smartness and good guitar playing.
It's sort of an epic quality too.
Yeah, epic's good. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Well, we talked about some established artists in the summer. Leonard Cohen, for example, Old Ideas, and we played that beautiful, lovely "Going Home," which I was totally enchanted by the way. We also talked about we didn't get a chance actually to talk about Neil Young and Crazy Horse. And the album Psychedelic Pill. What did you think of that?
Well, the story of Neil Young and Crazy Horse doing, I mean, they haven't done a record in, when, 2002 was Greendale, maybe?
Something like that.
So, what, 9-10 years ago?
Yeah.
And this year they do 2 records. They did Americana.
Right.
Which was a collection of old sort of folk, mostly folky tunes. And then they come back and do this Psychedelic Pill record, 2 record set. Of good old loud guitar banging Crazy Horse stuff, and I, I love this record. It's not like listening to, something like, Down by the River, or Everybody Knows This Is Nowhere is the album title I was trying to think of, where every song is fantastic.
Yeah.
There are songs that are just good. There's sometimes where the words feel lazy, but not Walk Like a Giant. Walk Like a Giant is a masterpiece of a song. And what is it, 16, 18 minutes? So
yeah.
Let's play the whole thing. I'm going to sit back.
Okay, you're right. should we play a bit of this?
Oh, yeah. And by the end, your audience will be whistling the tune.
Neil Young and Crazy Horse from the album Psychedelic Pill, that's Walk Like a Giant. Bob Boylan is with us, host of NPR's weekly music show All Songs Considered. For a list of the music we're talking about today and for links to All Songs Considered, visit our website, radiowest.kuer.org. We'll take a brief break. Back in a moment. This is Radio West on KUER. This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Back now with Bob Boylan of NPR's All Songs Considered. He's joining us to run down his list of the best music of this past year. You can find lists and links on our website, radiowest.kuer.org. So Frank Ocean got a lot of attention this year, I guess deservedly so. Bob, this is on your list, his album Channel Orange.
Yeah, this kind of surprised me that it made it to my list, and I'll tell you why. I like R&B. Mm-hmm. I've listened to R&B, and it's always been this music that certain times of the evening I'd spend listening to R&B. But
right. But
on some levels, because I like often music that's textural and more intricate, I don't dive into R&B a lot,
yeah.
And so. This record, Channel Orange by Frank Ocean, is kind of full of the stuff that made me interested in soul music when Stevie Wonder started getting more interesting and making records like Talking Book and Inner Visions and fulfilling this full first finale. Those records that were layered in ways that surprises were around every turn,
yeah.
But the songs were kind of if they were either romantic. Sort of inward, sort of talking about the one you love. And in case of Stevie, he made records that were also had a social message to it.
Mm.
And Frank Ocean does all of those things on Channel Orange. And it's a intricate. I'm still trying to figure out this entire record.
Mm.
There are stories, that talk that unfold in very surprising ways in character development and. I don't know. We'll probably play. What are we going to play here?
Yeah, let's play
Lost, which is probably one of the easier songs to get into. But even in it, there's enough to listen to that makes for interesting music.
Here it is, Frank Ocean from his album Channel Orange, Lost.
big full breast on my baby. Triple weight, couldn't wear the love I got for the girl. And I just wanna know why you ain't been going to work. Boss ain't working you like this. He can't take care.
Sexy dude.
Sexy dude. That's exactly
he totally
right.
Is. Yeah, and even in his live shows, he really plays. He has so much. He's another charismatic performer. Strips down the music quite a bit in his live performance.
Yeah.
And it's really sort of focuses on him as a strong, strong personality.
Did you think about what effect it will have that he came out as gay this year? What effect that may have on, you know, his music or the way he's regarded in, you know, the R&B world? You think about that?
I don't. You know, we've dealt with this in music for so long,
yeah.
In rock music. I just don't. It surprised me that there was a fuss over it. Frankly,
yeah.
I don't. I think it just seems like, hello, it's the 21st century.
Exactly.
This is okay,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. There was something you wrote about exit music, the band Exit Music, as being one of those examples of music that you talk about. It has that kind of slow build of tension that really takes off. And then there's this kind of darkness. And when you talk about there being also kind of hope and beauty. I loved how you wrote about this, this album Passage from Exit Music. Talk about that, if you will.
Well, you know, it the first thing when I first heard their music, I thought of Twin Peaks. Do you remember the show Twin Peaks?
Yeah.
And I thought of that because of the woman, Julie Cruz, who used to, and Angelo De Bellamonte. I think I just butchered his name. It just escaped me. But Bo De La Monte, the guy who used to compose the music for Twin Peaks, had this sense of deep intrigue when you heard the songs. And Julie Cruz had this sense of absolute innocence. And I like that team a lot. There's something about something very innocent on one hand and then very mysterious on the other, and the two elements coming together. And that happens. That happens in Exit Music, and I really like that. It's a quality that really draws me in, and I think that they take long times for their. This is going to be hard in a 1 minute clip to do. I think we can do it. Long time to develop the songs and really get into it. But I think you'll immediately, like, there's some records that are just. It's a vibe. If it's on in the room, it's a vibe. It changes the atmosphere in a room. They've got that in their music, and I love when a band has a vibe.
Mm. Here it is, a song called White Noise from the album Passage. It's Exit Music. You know, the first thing that came to my mind was Sigur Rós.
Okay.
There's a little element in there, don't you think?
I'm totally with you there, you bet. They rock a little more than Sigur Rós, but I think that probably is a good, maybe even a better analogy than I had. You know, people may know her if they're TV fans of Boardwalk Empire. Alexa Palladino, the singer there, played the character Angela Darmody on Boardwalk Empire. She teamed up in the band with this fellow, Devin Church, who does a good chunk of those textures on guitar. Mm. Fun team to watch and a good band there. It's more than the two of them, but I like them a whole lot.
Yeah. It's called Passage, the name of that album.
Yeah.
So let's talk about your favorite song of the year. This is from the Dirty Projectors, their album Swing Low Magellan, and the song is Offspring Are Blank.
There's a bunch of music that I think was born in the early 90s that would have that very quiet moments and then explosion.
Yeah.
Famous Nirvana, more famously. They took it from others. But Dirty Projectors are another one of those bands that we talked about earlier that you cannot... It's kind of like what people used to think of MTV when they would watch it, where you'd watch the video and every 12 seconds or so it would cut to something else, cut to something else, cut to something else.
Right.
This is music does that, and they do that really, really well. And they don't do it for just a simple effect. They just do it because it makes for a more interesting song. It makes for different ways to unfold emotion. The beginning of the song almost sounds like it could be a 50s doo-wop tune, and the second part of the song sounds like it's, Jack White cranked up louder than Jack White might crank it up, or AC/DC for all that matters. Mm. I like all that happening in this band. They're from Brooklyn. We play Offspring Are Blank, right, which is the song that is my favorite song of the year for all the things that it does. It's a long song. There's lots of things that happen. I think we can try to give a little example of two of the main things that happen in the song if we started in a little bit.
There was a single one, then there were 10. With 10 made 100, and 100 million. You came and spoke to me, I saw your face. Your words were like raindrops from a stormy.
Well, there's a little taste. Boy, shifting gears immediately. Right? Man.
Yeah, there are certain tricks in producing records where if you start it quiet, someone will they'll say, oh, I better turn that up a little bit.
Right.
And then when the loud part comes, it's that much louder, and it's a great thing to do. And there some bands use that to great effect, and Dirty Projectors on this Swing Low Magellan record do that.
Yeah. All right, favorite album, Alt-J. An Awesome Wave is... go ahead. The name of the... name.
Yeah. There's nothing better when my number one record... There's nothing better to a year when my number one record is from a band I'd never even heard of.
Wow. Does that happen very often?
One out of every maybe 6 or 7 years. It doesn't happen that often.
Yeah.
No. And Alt-J, when I first heard it, it wasn't something that completely grabbed me. I was off-put by the voice. Joe Newman's voice can often sound like he might be a Muppet. he bends and works those notes and twists words that sometimes are very hard to understand what he's saying.
Yeah.
And so being a lyric guy, I didn't really get what was going on. So I heard the record like on a Thursday, and they were in town in Washington on a Friday, and I went to see them. It's a little easier to catch the words that he's singing live than it was actually on the record. And I was drawn in. The poetry on this, it's very literary words, sometimes references to film noir, sometimes references to books, and characters in books that he then turns into stories. And again, another one of those groups. I feel like a broken record today, but it's like a broken record where it like all of a sudden shifts the song, just shifts to something else. And I think they're masters. I just can't say enough about this band, Alt J. Even their name. Yeah, you know, their name is quirky.
Yeah.
It's Alt-J.
Yeah. The song is Tessellate. Tessellate means to form something out of blocks or make like a mosaic. I had to look that up.
I didn't know that.
Did you know that?
I didn't. And I just assumed it was, as Ann Powers would say, about doing the nasty.
Right.
That was just another word for sex.
Well, maybe it is. You never know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and the way he sings it, it sure could be.
Yeah. You'll hear Joe Newman here. This is the song Tessellate from Alt-J, the album An Awesome Wave.
Chunks of me. You're a shark and I'm swimming. My heart still thumps as I bleed. And all your friends come sniffing. Triangles are my favorite shape. 3 points where 2 lines meet. Toe to toe, back to back. Let's tessellate.
Bob Boylan's favorite album of the year. It's Alt-J, An Awesome Wave, the song Tessellate. Well, okay, so we talked about favorite song, talked about favorite album. Japandroids, which didn't make the top 10, but it's the perfect song to go out of a show like this, I have to say. Good, and this is one of the two guitar-based rock albums that you just really, really loved. And, you know, this kind of, I think... We've talked a lot about this when over the several times we've been talking, and joy, you know, joy is one of those things here. It's just one of those things that really, really gets after it. This Japandroids song. It's called the House That Heaven Built. The album is Celebration Rock. Did it almost make the top 10?
Yeah, it was. You know, I weighed back and forth between Jeff the Brotherhood and Japandroids.
Yeah.
Stephen Thompson here at NPR Music picked Japandroids, and I picked Jeff the Brotherhood. They're both great rockin' albums. They're both concise, and they're fun. They're cathartic. These guys are from Vancouver. I like them a lot. And boy, when you hear this song, like the Neil Young, you couldn't stop whistling. This is one of those great car-driving songs where you want to raise your fist, but the roof of the car is a little too shallow, and you may just wound up hitting the roof of your car or banging the steering wheel.
Here it is, The House That Heaven Built, Japandroids.
Oh,
have a hard time pulling the fader down on that one.
That's Japan Droid, Celebration Rock, the song The House That Heaven Built. Bob Boylan is the host of NPR's weekly music show All Songs Considered. For a list of the albums we talked about today and for links to All Songs Considered, visit our website, radiowest.kuer.org. Bob, it's great as always. Thank you so much.
Oh, pleasure. I hope next year is as good as this.
Thanks very much.
Fun. Yeah.
Radio West, a production of KUER News, technical direction from Mike Anderson, help today from Michael Havey, the show produced by Benjamin Bombard and Elaine Clark. I'm Doug Fabrizio.